Romans chapter 16, verse 17 through 20. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, as we touch on this subject, dear God, the subject that I believe you've brought before us for this hour. Bless, dear God, help us, Lord, help us to have our hearts open. And I pray, Lord, that you would take these things and bind these precepts and principles of your word to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to give you a little Bible study tonight on this subject, simple concerning evil. Simple concerning evil. On Romans chapter 16, verse 19, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And I was thinking, as I was meditating on this, somebody asked me here a while back about, preacher, where do you get sermon ideas? And I said, probably the lion's share of the seed sermon ideas that I get just comes from my daily reading of the Bible. I think that most good sermons are just an overflow of your devotional life and an overflow of what God's doing in your life. And so I was directed through my Bible reading time to Romans chapter 16 and read that verse and said, boy, what a concept. Simple concerning evil. And what there's ways, young people, that you ought to be wise. There's ways in which you ought to be simple. It seems like sometimes the world wants to pick on you or make you feel like you're foolish or unlearned or in the dark or ignorant concerning some things if you're a Christian. I was talking the last time I had a conversation forgive me, I'm having a senior moment here again. Our young Marine. Thank you. Oh, it's just great getting old, isn't it? You know, I almost said, you tell him I almost called him Lindsay's brother. You know, Lindsay's brother. That would have been great. That would have been, I may refer to him the rest of the story as Lindsay's brother, I think so. But Kyle was talking to me, and he was telling me a little bit about boot camp, and he said my drill sergeant finally just looked at me one day and called me over, and he said, son, I've been watching you. He said, you're just kind of simple, aren't you? Kyle said, well, if you're talking about knowing about the things of the world and knowing about everything that everybody else seems to know about in this platoon that's going on, I guess, sir, yes, sir, I am kind of simple. By the way, there's a good kind of simple. There's a good kind of simple. Hey, preacher, who are the hotshot Hollywood stars? I couldn't name you five. I don't know. But who are the cutting edge? What's the cutting edge movies that are? I don't know. I mean, I really do mean that. I could not tell you what the most popular brand new movies are. I don't have the faintest idea. Preacher, give me one popular country music star. I don't know. Give me one top 10 song, a country western song. I couldn't give you a top 150,000. I don't know. But what about the performers? Don't know. What about the pop music? I don't know. But give me, you read about one group Sunday morning. Yeah, somebody sent me an email and said, you better warn the young people about this. There's this new crazy group that whose song ought to be called Sin While You're Young. Sin While You're Young instead of Live While You're Young. That's what the, and yeah, you know, every once in a while, someone will send me one, make me a little bit. But you know, I don't go researching that stuff. I don't care. I don't care. Well, what do you think the world's going to say? I don't care what they say. Well, don't people make fun of you? The crowd I run with don't make fun of me. If you'd stop running around with a worldly crowd, you wouldn't get made fun of either, you know? And I don't care, you know? Well, what about the top five primetime, most popular primetime TV sitcoms? I don't know. I don't know. Well, what about the latest fads? Sorry, I mean, come on, look at this way I'm dressed. I have no idea, you know, what the latest fads are. What about the young up-and-coming comedians? And I couldn't tell you. Who showed up on David Letterman this? I don't know. Couldn't tell you. Who showed up on Johnny Carson? I haven't the faintest idea, you know. And I don't know. Who won The Voice last season? Don't know. Who won American Idol? Don't know. Who was on Dancing with the Stars? Couldn't tell you. Tell me something that was on America's Got Talent. The faintest idea. Now listen to me. Look right up here. Look right up here and let me help some of you. Some of you know way too much about the things you shouldn't know about and way too little about the things you ought to know about. Okay, and by the way, you go ahead and laugh and snicker and carry on and say, thank you very much. I'll just be simple concerning evil. I'll just be simple concerning evil. That's what the Bible says. I want to be wise. I want to spend my time learning the things that's going to help make me a good Christian and shunning the things that are going to cause me to stray away from the Lord. Now, I'm not going to preach a message on this, but I do want to pay attention to the context of the message or of the scripture. And then I'm going to give you some things that you ought to know about evil. But for the most part, you ought to be simple concerning evil. Notice verse 17 through 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offense contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, their own appetites, their own lusts, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Now verse 19 follows verse 17 and 18, and it's in context with that. The reason some of you know, and maybe not rock music, Hollywood, country music, primetime sitcoms, but the reason some of you know way too much junk, because you're hanging around the junk crowd. You're on Facebook with the junk crowd. You're texting back and forth with the evil crowd. They don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. They do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. I'm talking about the crowd that likes to criticize Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm talking about the crowd that likes to cause divisions, trying to turn the hearts of people away from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Why don't you text them back and say, hey, why don't you give me the date? Tell me about the last time you won a soul to Christ. Tell me about the last time you brought somebody to church. Folks, they don't serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Mark them and avoid them. That's what the Bible says. Boy, I could help some of you. I'm going to rescue some of you. I'm going to keep you in the will of God. But the Bible says this. Listen, be simple concerning evil. Preacher, did you hear what so-and-so said? No, I didn't. Did you read what they put on Facebook? I don't go on Facebook. Okay, but don't you know the latest rumor about so-and-so? No, I don't. I don't. I don't spend my life. Listen, I'm not going to lay my head down and let somebody back up a garbage truck and dump junk into my brain. I'm not going to do it. If you want to live that kind of life, you live that kind of life. But that's why you're struggling spiritually. That's why you can't keep a good attitude. Now listen to you, I'm trying to help some of you. Get off the stinking Facebook. Get off the stinking Facebook. Okay, I'm trying to help some of you right now. You're floating around, you're reading a bunch of junk, your mind's getting polluted. Folks, listen to me, anybody will gossip a lie. Anybody will gossip a lie. Okay, and I've never met a gossip yet that's concerned about the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And so, there, you got helped if you'll be helped, and if you won't, you won't. Amen. Glory to God. But so I don't know. I don't know. Well, preacher, haven't you heard? No, I haven't. But don't you know that this is going to? No, I don't. Why do you? I want to ask that. Why do you? Why do you know all that? How come you're cutting edge on all this stuff? How come you're the source of where are the other people that want to know the bad always go to, text, call, or hang around? Why do you know that? Why are you in the loop? Okay? Because you're disobeying Romans chapter 16, 17, chapter 16, verse 17, 18, and 19. Be simple. Be simple concerning evil. And be wise concerning good. Now, preacher, the Bible says here we ought to be simple concerning evil. Yep. There's just a lot of it, most things we don't need to know about. There's a lot of evil out in this world. I'll be honest with you. There's situations as a pastor that you cannot avoid having to know sometimes some things that I just wish I never had known. I mean, I've literally left counseling sessions and feel like I need to go take a spiritual shower, clean my mind out. young people, and again, I love you, I love you, I love you, but listen to me. Let the world mock and make fun of you. There's a lot of things you don't need to know about. There's a lot of wickedness. If so-and-so is talking about something, I don't even know what they're talking about. Thank God you don't know what they're talking about. And by the way, don't get curious about it. Okay, there's most stuff out there. I mean, there's good, there's sin, and then there's evil. And we are living in a world that's increasingly evil. And there's just a lot of things. I'm just going to try to hit a reset button with some of you. There's a lot of things people just talk about that we'd have never talked about. There's some things that people just bring up and discuss openly that I'm sorry, but there's some things kind of just private and what? You know, I'm not comfortable in a lot of conversations and sometimes with Christian people. I'm just, you know, TMI. Too much information. You know, I mean, good night. Just, all right, woo, all right, good. I'll be back. You guys talk about that. This makes me uncomfortable. I think there's still some things that are sacred. I think there's still some things that don't need to be discussed in detail. I just think there's some subjects that really ought to be off limits. I mean, completely, completely, completely off limits. Just decent people don't stand around and talk about. And so I'm not making much application here, because if I got specific, I'd be breaking what I'm telling you about. I just don't get it. You know, there ought to be some things that are sacred. But I'm a preacher concerning evil. Yeah, I just want to be simple. I don't want to know a whole lot. Well, what do you want to know about evil? What do we need to know about evil? Preacher, there's some things we need to know about evil. Yeah, there is. There is. Go to Romans chapter 12, if you will. Let's look at verse number 9. I'm going to have you move around the Bible. I'm going to have you look at the verses. We don't have a lot to go to. But let me give you seven things, probably the only seven things you really need to know about evil. Let me just give them to you. Stay simple concerning evil. Number one, you know, we need to know that we're to hate evil. I don't even have to know the specifics of it. I just know I'm supposed to hate it. In Romans chapter 12 and verse number 9, we see, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor. The word abhor means to hate. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And so I want to hate evil, and I've learned to hate evil. There's things that happen that I just, honestly, folks, listen to me. Don't sign a peace treaty with the devil. Okay? Don't sign a peace treaty with the devil. Don't allow yourself to get comfortable with some things that you should not get comfortable with. I heard a man preach one time, Bill Rice Ranch, years and years and years ago, and we took the teens down there. One of the best messages I ever heard on overcoming besetting sins. And he said, number one, he said, declare war on your besetting sin. Folks, here's the thing. We just kind of get to a place where we have peace with it. We don't try to justify it. But you know what? We don't hate it. Okay, one of the reasons that if you've got a sin in your life that you don't, come on, I hit this thing on gossip already. Let me tell you why some of you can't overcome that sin, because you haven't learned to hate that sin. You don't hate that sin, and you don't hate what that sin does to people, so that therefore you can't get victory over. You're to hate it. Gossip is evil. It is evil. Proverbs, I can take you to Proverbs. We can spend the rest of the night on that if you want to. It's the sin of seven abominations. I can't take you to another sin of the Bible that's labeled as the sin of seven abominations, but gossip is, tell-bearing is. And yet the average church member, unfortunately in this day and age, is just as involved in it as the world is. I mean, don't go to barbershops or beauty parlors. Men are as bad as women. I mean, anywhere they sit and have to wait for very long, next thing you know, people are talking about what they shouldn't be talking about. You know, if a church member comes to you and says, hey, well, can we go out to coffee sometime? Turn on a recorder. And then at the end of the conversation, just say, I just want to let you know, I did what the preacher said. I turned on a recorder. I'm just going to give him this tape. You know what's so funny? That scares people half to death, but it doesn't seem to bother them that God listens to everything that we say. I mean, just learn to hate it. Brother, there's some things that I don't hate people, but I hate evil. We're to hate the sin, okay? I read an article today while I was in the barbershop waiting in line. And it was concerning the bill that's trying to be passed, not in our state house, but in Washington, concerning listen, folks, they're trying to work hard. They got it through the Senate. Now it's going to go to the House. They're trying to push through what they call a hate bill against protecting homosexuals. And it's passed, and the entire thing was talking about, the entire writing of the article was couched in the idea of America's acceptance, America's finally accepting this, America's becoming tolerant of it. Folks, listen to me. I hate the sin of homosexuality. I have it softened a bit. I listened to Keith Gomez one time on the radio, and if you don't listen to him unless you put steel-toed boots on. I'll just tell you that right now. You know, if you're a wimp, don't listen to him, okay? But he said, you know what? He said, 20 years ago, I used to preach on homosexuality, have the church come out of the seats shouting amen. He said, now most people just look uncomfortable. He said, let me tell you the reason why. Because most families in here, it's in your family somewhere, and all of a sudden it's not a sin far away, it's a personal thing. And that would be true with more families in this room than you might be surprised of. It's true of my family. Both sides of my family, it's true. But you know what? That hasn't softened my hatred. And say I hate them, hate the people involved. I hate the sin. Why wouldn't you hate the sin? You know what that sin's going to cost them, both on this earth and throughout all eternity? Why wouldn't I hate that sin? That sin's going to send them to a devil's hell. That sin's destroying any chance of them to have a normal, God-blessed life while they're on this planet. Why wouldn't? It's not a matter of hating people. It's a matter of hating the sin and what it does to people. You love people, but you hate the sin. And so, listen, folks, don't lighten up on. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit right now. What sin used to really bother me? What sin used to, man? And now, all of a sudden, when the preacher preaches it, I get a little uncomfortable, and I'm not sure I like him saying anything about it anymore. Come on, what have we gotten comfortable with? What is it that we wouldn't have done 10 years ago or 15 years ago, and now we're involved in every day of our life, and we've just built up a callus in our heart so that we don't let the Holy Spirit talk to us much about it? Come on, what is it? What is it that you're reading now you wouldn't have read when you were right with God? What are you watching on TV that you wouldn't? What have you made peace with? What have you made peace with? What have you grown to tolerate and accept? We're not supposed to tolerate or accept sin or evil. We're to hate it. And so number one, what do y'all need to know about evil? Preacher, you say we're supposed to be simple. What do I need to know? You know you're supposed to hate it. Go to Romans chapter 14, verse number 6. Romans 14. Number one, we're to hate evil. Number two, we're to avoid the appearance of evil. This is what we need to know about evil. The rest of it, just stay simple on. In Romans 14, verse number 16, I'm sorry, I said 6, verse number 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from the appearance of evil. Romans 14, 16, let not your good be evil spoken of. What are we talking about? Number one, we're to hate evil. Number two, we're to avoid the appearance of evil. Now, be very, very careful that what you do, even the good you do, you don't do it in such a way where you could stir up evil surmisings, where it could be taken wrong. Be very, very careful. I think that there's safeguards that ought to be built up in everybody's life. Bus workers, look up here. Let me help you something. I'm glad you're out visiting on Saturday. I'm glad you're out there on Saturday. Bless your hearts for being out there on Saturday. I mean that. And you know what? You're doing a good thing. Watch this. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. You use discernment. You be smart. Okay? Not everybody that opens the door and says, come on in, you should come on in. Don't let your evil good be. I'm a preacher, I'm out there doing good. Good, good. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. Well, preacher, nothing happened. No neighbor peeking out the window don't know. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. It is going to shock you, but despite all the preaching I do against gossiping, small town America gossips. I mean, they do. They watch and they see and they summarize and they assume and they talk and usually exaggerate. So you know what you do? You build safeguard upon safeguard upon safeguard in your life. Don't let your good be evil spoken of. Be very, very careful in the doing of good that you don't appear evil. There's some things that we shouldn't do just because, you know what, it don't look good. Some places we oughtn't to go just because, you know what, it don't look good. But I didn't go in there and do it. I know, but it don't look good. Okay, you ought to be conscious of it. You ought to be careful of it. I use this as an example almost every time I teach on this verse. You know, I like IBC root beer, but I never buy a bottle of it and drive down Main Street drinking it. You say, preacher, now you're preaching against root beer. There's nothing sinful about root beer. Oh, no, there's no. Matter of fact, it's good, good. But don't let your good be evil spoken of. You know, I drive by some guy here in town that I've been witnessing to for the last 10 years, and he looks over and sees me chugging on a brown bottle as I'm driving down Main Street. I could lose my testimony. He might. And by the way, I wasn't drinking beer, but half of Jacksonville will think I am by the time. I'm just saying, you say, preacher, you know, here's wrong, here's evil, and here's sin, and here's wrong, and man, you just like you want us to live way over here. Just keep a nice buffer zone there, you know. Nice, well, I can be here and still not sin, and I can be here and not sin, and I can be here and not, I know it. But every time you take a step a little closer to the edge, you open yourself up more for speculation. Okay. Say, well, I can go to a bar and sit down because they got good food and sit at the bar and drink a Coke. And yeah, and you know what? You didn't drink, but you know what? You just allowed yourself to have the appearance of evil. What about some new Christian that drives by and sees you walking in that place? They're not just going to assume you're not going in there to drink. They could have their faith dashed. What I'm saying is just be careful. I'm not saying that you have to be crazy. I'm just saying be careful. Use good common sense. Okay, so that's what we need to know about evil. We're to hate it. We're to avoid the appearance of evil. Number three, let me have you go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Boy, this is a good one. Oh, this is a good one. This would be worth the trip right here. Worth having to get the umbrella out. Worth having to have the windshield wipers on. It'll be worth dodging the deer on the way home. This is all going to be worth it right here. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Watch this. What do you need to know about evil? All right, I know I'm supposed to hate it. I know I'm supposed to avoid the appearance of it. Number three, I need to know this. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. All right, here's what else you need to know about evil. Listen, listen, listen. Evil will constantly work to open up with you a line of communication. Evil will constantly work to open up with you a line of communication. Be not deceived. Evil communications do what? Corrupt good manners. So here's a person that's got good principles and good manners, good life ethics, and here's evil over here. And evil is going to somehow try to open up a line of communication with you. Because if they can begin to communicate with you, if evil can begin to communicate with you, they will, through communication, begin to corrupt your good stand, your good manners, your good way of life. And so one of the things that we have to guard ourselves against is evil communications. Evil will constantly work to open up with you a line of communication. Now, this is a good time for us to stop, and I haven't done it in a while, and talk to you a little bit. Let me just sound the trumpet one more time and warn you, but please be careful with technology. Please, 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 please be careful with technology. Technology has made it so that evil has a lot more opportunity to communicate with the average person than it used to have. You know, my dad didn't want me to talk to anybody or hang around with anybody I shouldn't have. He'd ground me and send me to my room. I'd sit there and stare at the four walls, and that'd be it. Me, my bed, my King James Bible, that was it, you know. Now a kid can be set. Look, listen to me, parents. You can send your kid to their room, and they can be communicating with evil. They can be communicating with evil. I think we ought to be very careful. Okay, I think you ought to be careful about allowing your young people access to things that's going to allow evil to communicate with them. You say, "Preacher, well, I can handle it." I know the last 100 young people that fell thought they could handle it too. They didn't do very well, and you're not going to do very well either. You got to build safeguards into your life. Wise, as a young person, if that technology is destroying you spiritually, has enough sense to walk in, hand it to mom and dad and say, "I don't need this. I'm not going to make it to the finish line if I have this." There might be some wives who want to hand it over to their husbands, or husbands hand it over to their wives. It's not worth throwing away your life. Okay? And so be careful. Evil communications, words, the scorners. Scorners always word words. Enticers use words. And people get a line of communication. Now, I want to go back, if you will, to our text, because I want to say something. And again, this will help some of you if you'll let it help you. And one of the things that happens when people backslide and get away from the Lord is, or they begin to try to cause divisions and they begin to do all those things, is one of the first things they'll become critical of is the fact that the preacher or other good Christians begin to tell people you ought to break communication with them. They'll say things like, "Well, you know what, it's one thing to leave the church, but for everybody to just shun you after that, that's not right." Well, I don't know if they got the same Bible I do, but Romans 16:17 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." You know what avoid them means? It means avoid them. You know, but what's it mean in a Greek, preacher? It means avoid them. It means you see them coming, you avoid them. If they call you, you don't answer. If they text you, you block it. It means you avoid them. See, what we want to do is prove that we're still a good Christian. Okay, so you start communicating, but they're not interested in communicating with you to share with you what they learned from the Word of God that morning. They want to sit there and nitpick and drop little sarcastic things and all of this stuff, and they're chipping away and they're chipping away and they're chipping away because you won't obey the Bible. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm going a definite direction. I'm going towards the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to stay in His will. I'm not looking to turn evangelical. I'm not looking, you know what I am? I'm an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist, King James Version Bible. I believe in soul winning. I believe in loving people. I believe in preaching against sin. And if somebody else decides they don't want to be that, that's fine. But you know what? Can two walk together except they be agreed? God bless you. I'm not against you, but I'm not going to hang out with you. You want to go a different direction, we'll go a different direction. You know, brother, I don't hate you. I'm not going to sit here and throw rocks at you, but I'm not your buddy. Oh, preacher, a good Christian, see, you're letting them define what a good Christian is. The Bible defines what a good, you know what a good Christian is? Watch this. A good Christian is an obedient Christian. And an obedient Christian goes to these verses and says this. Look at verse number 18. "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Evil communication. Well, they're not really being critical. Well, you don't think so because they use good words and fair speeches and because you're simple. But how come you're not as excited about Blessed Hope Baptist Church as you were 6 months ago? How come you don't love what's going on here as much as you did a year ago? And how come you don't care about your preacher and other people in the church as much? Come on now. You know what's happening? You're being corrupted. You're being corrupted. Somebody wants to pack their little, you know, church bags and move down the road. That's fine. And I love them. But you know what? If they're going to a compromising church and that's the direction they want to head in their life, go. But I'm not going to try to prove to them that I'm a good Christian by staying buddies with them on Facebook. All right? I'm trying to help some of you young adults. There's a reason you're making the decisions you are. It's not because you've found new truths in the Bible. It's because of good words and fair speeches by those that are doing contrary to the doctrine which they've learned. And so be very careful. Evil will constantly work to open up with you a line of communication. You know what? Folks, listen to me. I'm going to help you with something here. I don't know if there's ever been a marriage that broke up in the history of America that didn't start with either a husband or a wife opening up a line of communication with somebody that they shouldn't have. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Some of you are doing it right now, and you think, you know what? You take fire to your bosom, you're going to get burned. Ah, well, we're just friends. Right. Come on. I was born at night, but not last night. All right, you want to stick your hand in the sand and pretend all that stuff? You know, you're the millionth, billionth person that's said the same stupid things and ended up shipwrecked down the road. Now, please listen to me. God calls your preacher and gives him things to say and has him say it in this congregation for you to listen to. I'm trying to save some of you. I'm trying to save some of your marriages. Try to save some of your lives. Try to save some of your future. Young people, I don't know who's opened up a line of communication with you, but come on, Holy Spirit's telling you who has right now. And it's corrupting you. It's corrupting you. It's hurting you. It's hurting your spiritual life. It's hurting your relationship between you and your parents. It's hurting your relationship between and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hurting your relationship between you and the pastor. Why would somebody want that as their goal? You better figure it out. Come on. Come on. God give you a good brain. Listen, I don't think you're simple. I think, you know what? Sometimes you just don't think. I'm trying to get you to think right now. All right. Watch it. Evil will constantly work to open up a line of communication. Let me go on. James chapter number 3. Let's go there. James chapter number 3. What do you need to know about evil, preacher? I know I'm supposed to hate it. I know I want to avoid the appearance of evil. I don't want anybody, even if I'm doing good, to be able to misinterpret it as not good. I know that evil is going to constantly work to open up a line of communication with me. I've got to be very careful about who I fall into a regular, you know, open up a regular line of communication with. Better think about who I'm talking to and who I'm letting influence me. James chapter 3, verse 6. Let me give you this next one. The member of your body that is more likely to cause you to become evil is your tongue. There's not a whole lot the Bible wants us to know about evil, but the Bible wants us to know this. The member of your body that is most likely to cause you to become evil is your tongue. James 3, 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly what? Full of deadly poison. Wow. Wow. My goodness sakes. Probably good for all of us about once a month just to read the third chapter of James. I mean, good for the preacher, good for the deacons, good for bus captains, good for Sunday school teachers, good for the best of the best of the best Christians in here. I mean it. Because it reminds us of this. You say, well, the Bible says, Pastor, the Bible says, but the tongue can no man tame. Yeah, no man can tame it, including you. You cannot tame your own tongue. Well, then we're hopeless. Well, thank God we have the God-man. God can take God with God's help, we can have victory. But outside of God's help, we are helpless when it comes to the controlling of our tongue. And so the tongue, the Bible says, I mean, we were being warned. I mean, you talk about exposing something. The Bible just basically says, listen, you got to be careful. The member of your body that's most likely to cause you to become evil is your tongue. And so you got to guard against it. If you are in the habit of speaking your mind way more than you ought to, then I want you, and listen, please hear what I'm saying. I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying sometimes in the course of my life, I say to myself, you know what, Jerry, you're talking more than you ought to. You're speaking too quickly and you're speaking too much. One of the best disciplines of life is just learn to hold your tongue. Okay? Bible says, in a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. The word wanteth means lacketh. In a multitude of words, there lacketh not sin. One of the best ways of preventing yourself from getting involved in sin and iniquity and evil is just to learn to discipline your tongue. You know, my mind works like, you know, it's a mystery, but it works. And somebody said to me one time, I can't believe some of the things you say. I always tell them this, you wouldn't believe the things I think to say that I don't say. I mean, that's what I ought to be congratulated on, is how many things that I won't say that. But it's a good discipline. It's good discipline to want to interject something sometimes and just say, you know what, that's not helpful. Nah. Want to say something and, you know what, I don't really need to say that. You know, well, but preacher, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. You know, most of us don't have any to spare. We really don't. Let's just keep all we got. Don't be giving away. You'll need it later. Don't give it away. So I mean that. I mean, for a young person, too bad we don't have something we can hang on our belt that just clocks the number of words we speak in a day. You know, some of you, 6,000 word people. Let's try to get it down to 4,500. Some of you 4,500 word people. You know. Let me tell you, if you learn to kind of, listen, I'm not saying don't, listen, you know what, talk with your friends, have a good time, as long as you're not sinning. I'm talking about this. I'm talking about most men that I know that are a little more reserved and aren't the first to usually give their opinion or speak and sometimes won't at all. When they do, it's usually worth listening to. You know, a lady that just doesn't sit there and all the time, you know, after a while, I'm going to tell you, ma'am, you might as well understand this. Nobody's listening. I mean, if you're doing that all the time, well, yeah, they are, because my husband says, uh-huh. Yeah, I know he does. That don't mean he's listening. He checked out about 1993, you know. And you've been going strong since then, but he checked out about 1993. All right, just... it's just kind of like background noise. He's just kind of learned to filter it and just watch football. Amen. And boy, that's good advice for us. Here's a good statement here and a good thought. I know I'm having a little fun, but we need to kind of let the Holy Spirit get serious here. Watch this. The best chance that I have tomorrow of being involved in evil has to do with me being not very disciplined or careful when it comes to the use of my tongue. That's the best shot the devil has to involve me in evil, is getting me to say something that I shouldn't ought to say. Now, that's his best shot. You can't find an entire chapter in the Bible that warns you against your thumb. Okay? There's no, you know, 7th chapter of James that warns you against your belly button. There's just not. Nor your big toe. Because the Bible says if your toe offends you, cut it off. I took care of that a long time ago. You think about it. It doesn't say, now watch your arm. Be careful of that bicep. Your ear, it's full of deadly. No. It's only one member of your body, God said, you know, I'm going to take an entire chapter of holy inspired words, and in graphic nature, listen, you talk about a trumpet blowing, the trumpet's blaring. It starts in a chapter in verse number 2, and it doesn't stop to the end of the chapter, and it's screaming out a warning. The best chance of a good Christian to be involved in some type of evil by the time the week's out is going to involve your tongue and my tongue. So what we better do is be very, very careful in that. What do we need to know about evil? We're to hate it. We're to avoid the appearance of it. It's always going to try to open up line of communication. It's going to most likely find a foothold in our lives by the use of our tongue. Something else you need to know about evil. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4. I'll give you two more and we'll be done. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4. A lot of things I don't care to know about, don't want to know about, don't know about, glad I don't know about, but there's a few things about evil I need to know. Let me give you this next one. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 4 says this, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Jump up to verse 3. Let's read it in context. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Let me tell you something else about evil that you need to be aware of, you need to know. If you live godly, a godly separated life, the world and worldly people will speak evil of you. They will speak evil of you. Now, folks, listen to me. I don't like it, but I've accepted it. It's not going to change. The biggest targets right now, the biggest targets as far as people talking bad against them in this day and age are dedicated, separated Christians. They've become the target of ridicule. They've become the target of gossip. More evil is spoken against people that are trying to do right than people that are murderers, criminals, thieves. There are more words being spoken in this day and age, in this culture, against people trying to do right than people that are doing wrong. Now, like I said, I don't like it. There's a part of me that I guess is never going to get used to it. The end of the Sermon on the Mount, or the end of the Beatitude section of the Sermon on the Mount, we're exhorted to rejoice and be exceedingly glad when people, you know what, persecute us, speak evil against us. I got to tell you, I still struggle with that. I'm just being transparent with you. I do. I know I'm supposed to rejoice, but you know what, folks? We all are human beings, and you know, words are powerful. I mean, life and death is in the power of the tongue, Proverbs says. I mean, people can hurt you by what they say. But there has to be a Christian maturity. There has to be a process of growth and grace where you get to the point where, even though maybe you never get to the point where, you know, it doesn't have any effect, you do need to understand this and accept this. Part of living right and doing right is that the world and worldly people will always say horrible things about you. It just comes with the territory. And so, like I said on Sunday morning, sometimes you just have to consider the source. Sometimes you just have to decide you're going to pray for them and love them. And you got to decide, you know what? They're exposing who they are and what they are by what they say. Out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth is speaking. You see, folks, listen to me. Jerry Ross isn't bothering anybody. I'm not what's really bothering them. Okay? I'm not bothering them. Come on. Some of you relate to this verse here. You know, you were saved out of the world, maybe saved out of worldliness, maybe saved out of riotous living. And so all of a sudden you'd start disconnecting and not doing and not running and doing some of the crazy things you did before. And what's that group start in on? Man, boom, they're just... You see, listen, you're not bothering them. You not participating in what they want to participate in, you know what's doing? It's spreading. Listen, light exposes darkness. Light exposes darkness. If you're the young lady that has the courage to speak up and say, hey, you know what, we shouldn't really be talking about this. I promise you, for the next 2 weeks, you're going to be the target of ridicule by those that you had to speak up to. Well, it's easier not to speak up. Well, it might be easier, but it's not right. And when the sun sets and you lay your head on your pillow, you know what, when it's just you and God, you want to have peace in your heart that you did the right thing. Well, no matter what people say about it. Okay, the young man that has to sometimes pull the group back a little bit and say, hey guys, we're going somewhere we shouldn't go here. Let's just, you know, come on, let's back it up. Okay, the person that's pulling the train trying to get it over the edge isn't going to be happy that you're putting the brakes on. So next thing you know, you're going to get the target of ridicule. I mean, parents have stepped up and made decisions in their life and put their kids in Christian education, and man, the entire family and friends and everybody else, next thing you know, they ridicule everything you're doing. I mean, anybody that takes a step in doing right, okay, all of a sudden you didn't used to come to church much, and you're coming now, and you're coming faithfully now, and there's going to be people that start, you know what, haven't you ever stopped? Why is this such a big deal to them? Why are they constantly bringing this up? It's not like I call them up and say, hey, I'm going to church again, I mean, it's not like I taunt them. Why is it bothering them? It's my life. I'm not rubbing it. I'm not using it like a club and beating them up. I'm just doing right. That's what's bothering them. So the more you grow in grace and the more you decide to do right, sadly, the more the world and worldly people will speak evil against you. Now you got to decide, you're going to let words keep you from serving the Lord and doing what you're supposed to do? Or are you going to say, you know what, consider to the source, God bless them. You know what, I'm going to do right. I'm not going to worry about it. People will say whatever they're going to say. And I'm just going to keep on keeping on. You got to do it. You got to do it. Let me show you one more verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. We'll end on this thought. Simple concerning evil. Preacher, what do I need to know about it? Well, the Bible says stay simple concerning evil. But it also says, here's some things you ought to remember. We're to hate it. We're to avoid the appearance of it. We're going to have to beware of the lines of communication that evil constantly tries to open. We need to understand that our tongue is probably the member without a doubt in the Bible that we are warned against it dragging us toward evil or involving us in evil. If we're going to live godly, the world will speak evil of you. That's what you need to know about evil. One more. In Romans chapter 12, verse 21, let's read this together. Ready? Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. The best way to overcome evil is by saturating yourself with good. Now, I spent an entire chapel service on this with our young people a couple weeks back, but folks, listen to me. You know the parable of the man that had a devil, and the devil left, and he swept and garnished and all of this. And the devil wandered around, the Bible says, in dry places. Pretty soon he went back and checked, and the place was empty. So he went and got seven spirits more evil than himself and reoccupied, and the last state of that man was worse than the first. The worst thing in the world you can do is try to create a vacuum. There's a doctrine in the Bible called the doctrine of replacement. All right, preacher, I've got this evil in my life, so I'm going to get rid of it. Well, if you get rid of it, but you do not replace it, it's going to come back worse than it ever was in the first place. So the Bible says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, the reason that man who got rid of a devil ended up being demon possessed by multiple devils is he didn't move in the Holy Spirit of God. That's why people that say, you know what, I'm doing wrong, I feel bad, I'm going to turn over a new leaf, I'm going to join a club that does good, I'm going to give money to charity, I'm going to. But you don't push out the devil and keep him out unless you put God in, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the Lord, listen, the Holy Spirit of God and Jehovah God can fight and guard you against demonic activity. Now, here's something. Watch this. The best way to overcome evil is by saturating yourself with good. It's one thing to say, I'm going to get rid of this wrong or this evil habit of mine. It's a dangerous thing to leave a vacuum. So as you get rid of a negative in your life, you need to replace it with a positive. Some young people say, oh, preacher, I got convicted about listening to the wrong kind of music, so I got rid of it. But then they don't listen to any music. Well, the Bible doesn't want you to not listen to any music. And if you get rid of it, and you don't replace it with the right kind of music, pretty soon you're going to be listening back to the old music, only you're probably going to be listening to stuff worse than what you did before, because that's how the devil works. If you're going to give up music, then call down to Evansville, Faith Music Missions, and order 10 or 15 or 20 CDs and play them in your house and play them in your car and play them everywhere you go. And you know what? Make sure that when that music tries to come back in, it's already been replaced. Preacher, I got convicted about the way I dress, so I took all of the things I shouldn't be wearing, I put them in the bottom drawer of my... No, I'll just go ahead and burn them. Right. Go ahead and get rid of them. And then go get the right kind of clothes and put it in and make sure that you completely replace it. Well, I know I shouldn't be going to these things, so I won't go there anymore, so what are you going to do instead? Listen, folks, for everything that you give up that the devil had you involved in, you need to get involved in doing something that is good and positive and takes that space. A lot of Christians, new Christians, say, well, I can't do this, 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 and this, so they sit at home and stare at the walls. And they don't do anything good, they just don't do evil. Pretty soon they're bored, so they're back doing evil again, and usually worse than they were before. It's one thing to give up evil, it's another thing to not replace it with good. Hey, you've got to put some positive things in your life, some good, wholesome things in your life that you're involved in, so that you don't create that vacuum. I want everybody, bless the Baptist, listen, from this day on, I don't know what you know and what you don't know and how much you know about the world and evil and the way things work. Listen, you know what? become wise about that which is good, and just learn to start becoming more and more simple concerning evil. Somebody comes and says, did you hear about this? If it has to do with the world or somebody in the world or something in the world, just say, nah, you know what? I really don't care. Okay, be the person that doesn't know what everybody's talking about. That's okay. Okay. You know, if you join the Marines, be the one soldier that the drill sergeant comes to and just says, you're just kind of simple, aren't you? I don't know if that drill sergeant realized it or not, but he paid that young man one of the greatest compliments that could ever be paid. Because I imagine there was a lot of things, and there are a lot of things that are being said and joked about and whatever amongst his environment. And I can just see old Kyle kind of sitting there with a smile on his face looking around like, what are they talking about? Now listen to me. And that's just fine with God. That's just fine with God. I don't worry about a young man like that. I worry about the young man that's always snickering and laughing and seems to know everything that grown adults don't know about. I'm a little more worried about those of you that always seem to know all the junk and all the trash and all the gossip. God bless your hearts. I mean it. God bless you. Well, you need to change the course of your life. You do. Just become simple concerning evil. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you'd use this portion of Scripture and the Scriptures we visited, Lord, to challenge us and to help us. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to just be busy doing good. Help us to roll our sleeves up, fill our schedule, occupy our day, being involved in the things that would be very pleasing to you. Lord, help us to build safeguards in our life, because the devil never stops working. He works overtime, never stops working. Always at it, always at it, always at it. He's not going to rest. And so, Lord, it's important that we become a very principled people in this day and age. We just develop some principles of life. Certain things we won't be involved in, certain things we won't listen to, certain places we won't go. Just draw, Lord. Help us to draw very clear and defined lines in our life. Help us, Lord, to be very busy in this day and age with trying to reach out and help people and be a blessing to somebody, look for opportunities to do good. Help us, Lord, to be more interested and find a way to use our tongue to encourage somebody than it is to destroy someone. Maybe to help encourage somebody than to trash somebody. And I pray, Lord, that you just again help us with your help, Holy Spirit, please, to take inventory of our life during this invitation. And Lord, if there's a little more evil than ought to has crept into our lives, I pray that we'd beat it back, dear God, with the help of your sweet Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name.